When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Well, I certainly appreciate the good songs today. And again, I want to ask an interest in your prayers. I appreciate the last song that the choir sung and the request that was made for everyone to who knows that they're saved to stand while we sung that good old song, because that's my thought today. I'm going to try to bring before you a message today with that title, I Know I'm Saved. And I just want to read one verse today from the fifth chapter of 1 John, verse 13. John, or 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You know, it seems to me that the Bible very adamantly teaches us that when a person gets saved, that God lets them know what He did for them. If we think about God's blessings, you know, the Lord never does do anything for a person or persons. He never does bless people and not want them to know that it was Him that blessed them. And, you know, we have example after example in the Old Testament scriptures that show us and teach us that when God brought Israel out of Egypt, when He delivered them out of that bondage that they were under in Egypt, that slavery that the Egyptians were binding them in, God never wanted them to forget that it was Him that delivered them. And there were times when they did forget that, at least they did not regard it. There were times that they actually even made to themselves idols and worshiped idols and gave them the credit and gave them the glory for having delivered them. And that displeased the Lord greatly. But He wanted them to always know that it was Him by His power that brought them out from the bondage they were in Egypt. And He even, at times, He instituted things among them and instructed them to do things that might testify to the next generation that God had delivered them. You know, He did that when He delivered them across the Jordan, when God caused the waters to divide and they crossed through the Jordan. God instructed them to take 12 stones from there and to make a monument there, to make something that would always remind people that God had delivered them. That was what the ordinance of the Passover was about. When God instituted that there in Egypt, just shortly before He delivered them, you can read in the 12th chapter of Exodus that God told them, when you come to the land where I'm taking you, when you've come into Canaan and you've settled there, I want you to perpetually observe this ordinance that those that come after, that those that of your descendants may always know that it was Me that brought you out of bondage. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, did that for the church when He instituted the Lord's Supper, didn't He? He wanted us to never forget that it was Him who gave His life in order for us to be saved. And so the Lord does not only save people, but He saves people that meet His conditions, and then He lets them know what He has done for them. Now, we know this to be a fact, that there are in the world today, and there have been for a good long while, there are different opinions and different views of what it means to be saved and how that a person actually does get saved. And We know that there are ideas that men seem to have that just don't match up with what God's Word says about the matter. Jesus said, you must be born again. And you must be born again. If you're going to see heaven when this life is over, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. Just going through a religious ritual is not salvation. You must have a personal experience with the Lord. And we find in the Scriptures, we find that when the Lord performed miracles, when Jesus was on earth and he performed miracles, those that were recipients of his goodness, those that he healed from various things, they knew that they had been touched by the Master's hand, didn't they? You can read in the fifth chapter of the gospel, according to Mark, when the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years and had spent all that she had, all of her living, going to physicians and was not being made better but was growing worse all the time, she came to Jesus believing that he could heal her. She came to him believing that if she could just get to him and just touch the hem of his garment, that she could be healed of the plague. And she did, and she was. And the Bible tells us in the fifth chapter of Mark, when it gives us that account of that, the Bible tells us there that she felt in her body that she had been made whole, that she had been healed of her plague. So God, the Lord gave her an evident token that he had in fact healed her. I remember reading about the man in the ninth chapter of the Gospel of John that was blind, and the Lord, he spit on the ground and he took that with some dust and he made a clay and he put it on the man's eyes and he healed him. He made him to see. And there were some people that, some self-righteous people, religious people that were questioning him and questioning his parents about what had happened. And it came to the point where they even accused Jesus of being a sinner. And they told this man that the Lord had healed from his blindness, that he was a sinner. And he said, well, I don't know about all that, but what I know is that I was blind, and this man made me to see. He made me see. He knew what had happened to him. And so, it just seems to me very reasonable that if the Lord could touch somebody physically and allow them to know what he had done, then he certainly has the power to do that same thing spiritually. And he does. And the Bible teaches us over and over and over again that those whom he blesses, those that the Lord saves, that they know that they have been saved. God does not want his children running around in the world not knowing that they're his. We also read in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, just prior to the account of the woman that was healed from the issue of blood, we read about the man that Jesus cast those evil demons out of, and when the Lord healed him from that, he wanted to go with Jesus right then, and he wanted to follow him, and the Lord, that wasn't the Lord's will for him at that time. He said, I want you to go home to your friends and I want you to tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Well, Jesus, when we are saved, when the Lord saves us, he lets us know that we may go and testify to others what the Lord has done for us. And certainly you couldn't go tell somebody about it if you didn't know it yourself. You sure wouldn't be a very effective witness that way, would you? And so the Lord not only saves us, but lets us know that we've been saved and gives us evident tokens of that we might honor him and glorify him in letting other people know that, hey, the Lord did this for me, and he has the power to do it for you. Isn't that what the woman at the well did after the Lord touched her soul? Didn't she go down there into the city of Samaria and witness to those people what the Lord had done for her? And the Bible says that many of the people of that city believed on him, that is, believed on Jesus, for the saying of the woman. And so, you know, in order to serve the Lord and to live for him, and to honor him with our lives, we've got to know where we stand with him. And he lets us know that. I realize that there are those, and have been for a long time, that differ in what they believe a person has to do in order to be saved. I know what the Bible teaches that we have to do. You know, we hear the gospel, and God uses the truth of that to convict us of our sinful condition. He uses that to show us, the Holy Spirit moves upon our hearts and shows us where we stand with the Lord. Listen, when God brings you to the realization that you're lost, you're not going to have to ask anybody. God will let you know. He'll let you know. And when you seek the Lord and get saved, you're not going to have to ask anybody. God will let you know. And he brings us to the realization that we're lost. And he requires of us, in fact, he has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And, you know, we have to do that for ourselves. That's not something that we can do for each other. It's a personal thing between you and the Lord. You've got to repent before the Lord for your own sins. And that has been commanded to all men. And we've got to place all of our trust in the Lord in order to be saved. And when we have met those conditions, and God alone can see our hearts, it's with the heart that man believes under righteousness. You know, salvation is not an external exercise. It's with the heart that man believes unto salvation, and with the mouth believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You've got to pour your heart out to him. You've got to seek him and trust him with all of your heart. And when God knows that you have met his conditions, he will save you with an everlasting salvation. And he's going to do something for you and in you that will let you know that you have been saved. And the Apostle Paul explains to us in the 8th chapter of Romans in verse 16 very plainly how it is that God does that, how it is that he lets us know what he has done for us. The Holy Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, no matter how many man-made views that there are, You know, there's one way that God made. One way, and Jesus is it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so no matter how many ways that man has devised, only the Lord has salvation. And the only way to truly be saved is to be born again by the Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you that a concept that I just cannot imagine is a group of people who assemble themselves together from week to week, and perhaps they sing songs and they pray together and they worship together and they sit there together, all of them believing that they can't really know that they've been saved. I can't imagine such a thing as that. You know, my heart was blessed this morning, and I'm glad that it is this way when Brother Joey said it's been requested while we sing this song that everybody that knows that you're saved stand up and we'll sing together about knowing that we're saved. And to see the many people that did stand and give testimony of that. And you know, my prayer today is that before that we leave, that everybody here today is under the realization that you are lost and separated from God, that you'll seek Him today to be born of His Spirit, that even before we have the benediction and leave here today, that you may know that you know that you know that you're saved. I know one thing. No man has ever possessed any greater knowledge. There's not anything that you can ever learn in this life. There's not anything in your pursuit of education. If you are pursuing the unraveling of the mysteries of the universe or whatever that it is, you will never come to any greater knowledge than to know that you're saved. I mean, that's the height of what any person can know. There have been people that have lived in the world that have spent their life in pursuit of knowledge. They've read book after book and they've examined every avenue that they can to learn things. And some of them, there have been men that have been so wise in the knowledge of things that they could just surpass the common man tremendously in the things that they know. But if they don't know that they've been saved, they haven't learned the greatest thing that there is to be learned. The Lord saved me. And when He did, He spoke to my heart in a way that I knew what God had done. God doesn't want anybody to be confused. You know that? That's not saying that a person can't be. You know, some of you here have been seeking the Lord. And listen, we realize from the testimonies of people that there are times when people are seeking the Lord, and sometimes they come to the point where they say, well, I just don't really know where I stand with God, or I think that something happened to me, but I'm confused about it. Well, you know, that may very well be. I know that no doubt that happens to people. But let me tell you something. That confusion that's in your mind, that confusion that's in your heart about where you stand with God, I can assure you today that God's not putting it there. That's the work of the devil. Well, he would love to He would love to keep everybody confused. He would love to cause all of us that have been saved to doubt our salvation. But I'm glad greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And I'll tell you what, I'm thankful that God gave me something when He saved me that the devil doesn't have enough power to make me doubt. The only way, let me tell you something. I can't tell anybody whether or not you've been saved. That's between you and the Lord. But I can tell you this. If you're confused about where you stand with God, if you'll come to Him, He can give you clarity. He can show you just exactly where you stand with Him. You know, I've known people in my life. There are some here today that could testify of this. I've known people in my life that they spent years, you know, maybe they grew up as a very religious person. They spent years believing that everything was well between them and God. And then the gospel got a hold of them and God arrested their heart and they come to the realization, you know what? I never was really saved at all. I'm telling you, friends, today you need a real experience of salvation. You need that personal, born again experience with God where you can say for yourself, I know that I'm saved. Having somebody ask you to repeat a prayer that they tell you to say, and then turning around and saying, well, since you did that, everything's okay with you, is not the method that God uses to let people know that they're saved. I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit doesn't need any man to do His work. He can do it just fine. He can draw people to the Lord. The Holy Spirit of God can convict people of their sins. He can draw you to the Lord when you repent of your sins and place your trust in the Lord and are saved. The Holy Spirit of God can give you ample witness in your soul that God has saved you, and He doesn't need me or you to interfere with that. He can do His work. That you may know. You know, I'm glad that I have and have had in my life an experience that I can tell about where I can with great confidence of heart that I can say, I can take you back. I can take you back to 41 years ago in the summertime when I was calling upon God and He saved my soul. And I've told that over and over and over through the years, and it's never changed. It's never changed. I'm glad that I'm not, just trying to go through some formal 7-step religious program and then standing before God one day in His judgment and saying, well, I hope that I've been obedient enough to the Word of God to make it into heaven. I don't advise that for anybody. You need to know that you've been saved by the grace of God. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthian church, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, the first words of that verse, he says, for we know. Well, what do we know, Paul? Well, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Let me ask you something. What Paul was talking about there was the death of this body, the death, the natural death that we're going to face in this life. If this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we know that we have a building of God. Let me tell you something. We know that we're going to die, don't we? We're all aware of that fact that we're going to die. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, the living know that they shall die. We know that that day is facing us. We know that that day is coming. When we're going to leave this world, we're going to lay down the walks of this temporal life, and we're going to eternity. Let me ask you something. Do you know, friends, if it came today, if today was the day of your death, do you know that it's well with your soul? Do you know that you've got a building of God? Do you know that you've got a home in heaven when this life has come to an end? I know. I know many people stood up today and testified that they know that they've been saved. Let me tell you, if you don't know, I'm going to invite you to come and pray and seek the Lord until you do know. And if there's confusion in your heart, seek the Lord until He gives you clarity, until He takes that confusion away. We get confused. Let me tell you something. I've already told you that we can know when we're lost. We can know when we're saved. And the only time in between there that when we become confused about that is when we just let the devil confuse us. God's not doing that. God is not the author of confusion in any, under any circumstances and in any situations. God does not confuse people. He wants you to know. He wants you to know with certainty where you stand. If you don't have an experience, if you've not experienced the new birth, if you don't have a time and place in your life where you know that this happened between you and God, then you need to seek Him until you have it. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal, in the heavens. Let's stand and sing.
Number 190. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away, calling today, calling today, Jesus is calling. Is calling the weary to rest, calling today, bring him thy burden and thou wilt be blessed, he will not turn you away, calling today, Jesus is calling. Is waiting, oh come to him now, waiting today, come. Come with thy sins at his feet, lowly bow. Come and no longer delay. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading, oh, listen to his voice. Hear him today. Today, they who believe on his name shall rejoice, quickly arise and arise.